Setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, Ken Coleman.
I'm coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville. My name's Ken, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you can do it, and how you can get there. It is all about your contribution. Fulfilling your purpose through your work. That's the conversation we have here. It's not political talk. It's purposeful talk. So welcome one and all. Big tent here, Joe. All right, everybody's welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. And the only time we're shouting and yelling is when somebody does a dream scream. They've stepped into their dream job and we're cheering for them. And that's the kind of yelling we do here. So excited to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's start it off with Kendra, who is on the line in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Kendra, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm such a big Ramsey fan, and it's really cool to talk to you today. Really appreciate
what you
and Dave and all the Ramsey personalities do.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to talk to you. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I wanted to share with you, I really appreciated the article on your website titled Your Time Will Come, mm-hmm. and it's all about growth and development in the waiting. And that really feeds into my question, which is, how do I know if I really need more time to grow and develop skills in my current role, or if I'm actually being gaslighted by my current employer? And I'm happy to share a little bit of context.
Yeah, tell me more, because you just went from 0 to 60 in 1 second. So what do you mean by gaslighted? What does that look like?
Yeah, so I had a really cool opportunity about a year and a half ago. I was actually tapped on the shoulder and promoted and given an opportunity to step into a brand new role as part of a new organizational design that my company launched. So I was given the opportunity to really pioneer and test a brand new role as the single incumbent. And the good news is the role is an entry point into a job family that I would consider to be my dream job. So I would be considered like level one, entry level one, into the job family, and levels 2, 3, and 4 previously existed, and that's where I really want to go. So the good news is I'm in proximity. The bad news and what I'm really struggling with is the role obviously is the most junior role on the team, and being the single incumbent in the role, so I'm the only person at the company that does this job, it's really challenging and really frustrating. And I think for me, it's if there's something like psychological to be said around the sense of belonging or the lack thereof, being the only person that's different on my team. And so I internalize it as feeling I'm not good enough for that next level. I feel excluded. I think, you know, primarily unintentionally, but I feel different. And because the role is new, there's not a ton of role clarity or structure. Like, we're all kind of still figuring it out. And so my dream job had an opening, actually 2 openings in it a couple of months ago. So this would be like the next step in my career in this job family. And my company, unfortunately, went externally to hire both of these openings. And when I expressed, you know, interest and I wanted to be able to compete for the role as part of kind of the next step in my development, I was told that I need more growth and development. I need more experience. I would say the folks that were hired externally have comparable experience to me. So I'm just trying to navigate, do I legitimately need more growth and experience, or is it time for me to start looking externally?
I think you start looking. Because I'm taking you at face value. I think you're an honest person. I don't think you're delusional. And so I would maybe take one more step of verifying that the outside people that came in for the 2 roles that you wanted, verify in fact that their experience is pretty darn similar to yours. So that will answer the question for you, and you need that confidence. And I think you've got the answer, but let's just make sure. And if you're already sure, then don't take that extra step. So now that tells you, wait a second, they chose somebody from the outside and they have comparable experience, and I feel like I'm isolated. I don't have healthy leadership that is communicating clearly to me what my expectations are. and they aren't helping me develop and climb a ladder. So that's a warning sign. So that's happening. Am I correct that I understand you correctly? I want to make sure I didn't say that the wrong way.
Yeah, no, that's definitely what I'm feeling.
Okay, so that's a red flag. Well, is it a feeling or is it a fact?
Well, I mean, I think they would say the role I'm in is designed to help me develop. But when I haven't received like concrete, tangible, constructive feedback. The feedback I get is I need more experience or I need more time. And
right, but what about the role itself? The role that you're in, are you getting proper support and development to be able to really get better in that current role? I got the idea that you were feeling like you were isolated because you're the only one of you in the building. You're kind of just on an island doing your thing. Am I right?
Yeah, there's some yes and no. I would say more recently there's been some intentionality around projects or assignments that have come that they've said, hey, this is for your growth. This is to help you get to the next level. But I am very frustrated being the only one. And it's like, how long do I have to wait and be miserable?
Well, we don't know the answer. But the fact that you're miserable tells me you need to start looking elsewhere. But I also want you to check yourself and go, why am I miserable? Am I miserable because I'm not getting the proper support and I'm not getting feedback, I'm not being given a ladder, or am I miserable because I got passed over and I just can't get over that? And I think that's what you have to ask yourself. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road, and I want you to be really self-aware on that. I don't think it hurts for you to look elsewhere, but that's the million-dollar question that I'm giving you for homework. Why are you miserable? Because if it's for good reasons, that, hey, they're not showing me a ladder, there really is no opportunity for me to grow. I don't think that's the case. I think you're kind of in the middle. I think your feelings are hurt. And I think you don't like being the only one. And it makes you a little uncomfortable. Well, that's not enough for you to leave, because that's just part of the growing process. The uncomfortableness of developing. So figure that out. I'm going to let you come up with that. And that's the homework assignment. That's a really important process, by the way. Really important to assess why it is that you're feeling the way you're feeling. Why is that? Quick little nugget. I shared this on the YouTube show. I want to give this to you really quick. I was thinking over the weekend, doing some writing, and I was thinking about the practicalities of failing. How our society of humans, we just hate failure because it's not fun. It stings. So nobody wants to deal with failure. And then we have a lot of people in the personal growth space, which I'm in, right? And you say, well, failure is good. Embrace failure. But you need to do it in a practical way. So here it is. Three quick things. I'm going to give you this. Number one, fail regularly. Know that if you're failing on a regular basis, it's not because you're a disaster. It's that you're trying something new. You're learning something, trying to do something with that. So let's be realistic, okay? You want to get in a process where you're learning and growing all the time, which is failure involved. Number two, fail quickly. Don't stretch it out. Don't hang on too long. You know, try it. If it doesn't work, let go. Shut it down. Learn something. Re-up. And that leads to the third thing, which is fail inexpensively. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't make this massive investment that's just, oh, I hope this works. It's got to work. No. It's probably not going to work. But that's what we learn from. That's what scientists do every day. So, fail the right way. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey guys.
What if you could be 100% confident that you're doing the right thing with money? Well, folks, I got great news. Now you can with Ramsey Plus. We took our best tools and teaching and put them together in one all-access membership. You'll learn the proven plan with Financial Peace University. You'll budget with the Every Dollar app, and you'll track your progress with the new Baby Steps app. Plus, there's going to be a whole lot more. Go to DaveRamsey.com and sign up for a free trial of Ramsey Plus today. Helping you get unstuck and then getting on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Different kind of talk radio. Shining the light on your future. A future that involves you showing up on Monday morning fired up and enjoying the work week because you're doing something you're really good at. You're doing something you really love, and that work is creating a result that means something deeply to you. That is a dream job. It's not a fantasy. Something worth dreaming about because it is special. Take my word for it. I've been in the dead-end job. I've been miserable to where I cannot sleep at night. Boy, it sure is good. Sure feels good in the pool of purpose. Woo, the water's nice. Come on in. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Jeremy's up next in Erie, Pennsylvania. Jeremy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for your time. How are you today?
Man, I am living the dream. What's up?
So I just took the Should I Quit My Job quiz. I am without a doubt in the wrong place, and I am in the wrong role.
Oh, no. Were you surprised by that result?
Not the wrong place, slightly by wrong role, but
interesting.
I think what has been fueling me trying to get everything straightened out now is, you know, I'm not happy in the job. The job as of the end of March into April has gone remote, 50% pay and 80% hours.
Yikes.
So I don't want, and I've now been told, about a week ago that is going to be the case for the rest of the year.
Mm.
So, I don't necessarily want to hang in there. I really should be trying to figure out what's next. And yeah, right now I was going through the career clarity, and I don't have full clarity yet, trying to find my sweet spot. But also, you know, the thing I keep hearing is if you have a job, hold on to it for dear life because you don't know what's coming next. And I don't know if that really should be the case right now or.
Well, it is unless you have the financial security, the independence where you can go without work for 3 to 6 months. Can you do that?
Probably not. Well, I've had to move. I was living in Pittsburgh. I had to move out, move back in with my parents, because the 50% pay.
Exactly.
Is a full rent factor.
Yeah. So here's the deal. You hang on for now, right? Another way of saying it is you hang on until you have something else to step into. Okay. Cause there's no sense right now, as much as this stinks and it's creating all kinds of negative emotions. There's no reason to make it even worse by losing your income. Okay.
Right.
So I want you to hang tight until you find something to step into. Okay, that's just the smart thing to do. But let's start looking aggressively, like you don't have something. That there's the intensity. You stay where you are, grateful for it, do the best that you possibly can so you can keep it until we find something else. Mm-hmm. So you said you're getting close. So when we look at the sweet spot, that's the intersection of what you do best, talent, what work you love to do most, work that gives you high emotion, and there's a lot of devotion, okay? And then third, the results of your work that really matter to you deeply. They move your heart, they fire you up. So what are you unclear on in those three categories?
What I'm unclear on is, you know, I went through and in understanding what I do now and what I like about what I do now, you know, I'm a creative thinker. The thing that I take pride in, well, one, you know, my boss had to lay off 70% of his workforce and kept me. And yet, my role says I'm marketing, but I haven't done marketing for months now.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the reason why I was kept on board is I am the problem solver. I am the creative mind. When we have meetings with clients or internally, you know, I feel very fortunate that, I'm the person who can stay quiet for a half hour, 45 minutes, get called on, seep through everything that's in the discussion and end up being the way that everything moves forward.
Okay, great. What type of problems do you really love to solve? There's no question you're good at it. The way you think, you have the ability to discern, to analyze, and then to take complexity and turn it into simplicity. Did I read you right?
Yes.
All right. Now, the question is, do you enjoy that kind of work? Or is it just something you're good at, but it's not the kind of thing you like to do all day, every day? How much do you enjoy that talent?
You know, I think that's where I'm a little unclear as far as, you know, I'm probably a 7 or 8 in that area. I originally was brought on board for social media, trying to distance myself from that. Ultimately, that job, this job that I'm in now, last summer, it was 60-hour-plus work weeks, no overtime.
So what work do you love? Tell me a function, a role, a task. Give me a couple. because I know what you're good at. What work do you love to do? High emotion, high devotion. You look forward to it. You love it when you're in the middle of it, and you spend a lot of time on it, if you could.
Writing. I'm usually called on to be the person who's crafting an email that needs to be said just right.
Great.
You know, I don't know if I consulting, and I feel like that's the broad stroke of it. It's, you know, it's interacting with people and figuring out what exactly their needs are that they can't necessarily get across.
Okay, good. What are the results of the work? So when you're done consulting with somebody and the light bulb goes off and you know that they got it and you can see how grateful they are to you, or you write something that you look at and you go, that's well said, that accomplishes what we need to, or people read what you write and they compliment you. Talk to me about the results. I'm just giving you some examples. What are the results of your work, the results of your writing, and the results of your consulting where you go, gosh, that's a good day. That matters deeply to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, I think it's, in a way, getting that moment that you get from helping people find their sweet spot. It's the relief of, oh, this is what I need to be doing. And it's coming from an unexpected voice, but sometimes, but also,
but my question is this. But my question is this. Would you rather write something? Is it 50-50 on consulting versus writing? Is it more writing or is it more consulting? What I mean by that is you listening, giving advice, and showing somebody the solution and then the steps to get to that solution. Does that give you greater juice? Or is it sitting down and taking words and doing something with words? I'm looking for what's the outcome that you go, Ken, if I did this all day, every day, I wouldn't feel like I was working.
I think it's the consulting piece. I think writing comes with it.
I think so too.
The brunt piece of it.
I think so too. I think that's one of your great weapons, one of your great tools in solution giving and solution providing, solution crafting. I think you love the crafting, the communicating the solution, showing them the way. So the question is, where do you do that in the marketplace? What are all the marketplace matches? And this is where you free up.
Yeah.
And you don't have to answer it because you know how wide open this is for you? See, I'd take the word consultant. I'd make the word consultant your primary role. Like, if I'm in the role of consulting all day, every day, I am feeling the juice. Is that a true or false statement?
True.
Absolutely. So forget being a consultant, meaning where, but the idea of, are you an internal consultant and where are you best doing that? Here's what I mean. Are you best as the guy who's leading a team of project managers? Are you best as the guy who's leading a team of social media specialists, writers, process? Here's the point. We can call it consultant, but at the end of the day, you're in some type of leadership management role where you're the person everybody's bouncing stuff off of. When there's a problem, they come to you because you're the guy that's best at figuring it out. When they need some advice on something, you're the guy. I think that's the role you want to fill. And my point is, it really is widespread. You can do that in a lot of different places. Start looking for those roles. And when you read the job description, this becomes your litmus test, Jeremy. Does this role seem, by its description, to let me play the role of consultant most days and most of my day? See, that's beautiful, Jeremy. Where can you be a consultant? Now, does that mean you open up your own consulting firm one day? Maybe. But right now, in the marketplace, forget the term as a job title, but as a job description, a role description. That's what I mean by role. What's the role I'm playing? Well, my title might be operations specialist. Right? We got all these fancy titles these days, right? But the role is, I'm essentially a consultant internally. For these engineers, for these people, whatever. So that's the power. And when you get into that sweet spot and you realize this is the intersection of my talent, my passion, and my mission, and I can come up with a role. Oh, that helps you get tremendous clarity. It's a wonderful exercise. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. Folks, the unemployment rate has skyrocketed, and because of that, the job market is more competitive now than ever before. If you've been laid off or you're just looking for a change, it's important that you're taking advantage of every tool out there to help you stand out in the hiring process. That's why I'm so excited to announce that my Get Hired digital course is on sale now. This is an online course with over an hour worth of video lessons that will walk you through how to stand out from the competition in your job search. We'll talk resumes, cover letters, preparing for interviews, and so much more. Plus, you'll get immediate access to my resume, how to win the interview, and how to follow up after the interview, plus career clarity. All of these are our Get Hired guides. All you need is a computer, tablet, or phone to watch, and you'll have access to unlimited replays of each lesson. If you're going to be looking for a job, you must do everything in your power to prepare, and this course will help you do just that. Go to kencoleman.com to buy the Get Hired digital course today. That's kencoleman.com. Welcome back, America. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where men and women are flocking to get clarity. Clarity? What are you talking about? Clarity on who they really are, who they were created to be. We're talking about your work, your contribution here on the Ken Coleman Show, and we are thrilled that the audience is growing, stations are growing, so welcome aboard. It's a different kind of talk radio. The only yelling and screaming we're doing here is when somebody steps into their dream job, and it's of the celebration style of yelling. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Real quick, we got a brand new free resource at kencoleman.com. It's called our Career Clarity Guide. Many of the times that I'm on the phone with callers that are looking for that clarity for finding their sweet spot, we walk through the three indicators of clarity. That's talent, what you do best. That's passion, the work you love to do most. And mission, the results of your work that matter deeply to you. Well, this Career Clarity Guide is free. KenColeman.com/clarity. It's also in our resources page. And this is the worksheet that will allow you to begin the process for many of you. This is what you need to do to call into the program, because you're going, okay, Ken, I got some answers here. Help me find that marketplace match, which is my way of saying all the different jobs in the marketplace that will allow you to be in your sweet spot. Go get it. It's free. Did I mention that? So go get it now, or pass it on to somebody that you know needs that clarity. 844-747-2577 is the number. April's up next in Evansville, Indiana. April, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, April. Thrilled to. What's up?
Well, I'm either needing a plan or just a kick in the pants.
Well, good news. I've got a plan or a kick in the pants, and maybe you'll get both. We'll see.
Well, I've been in broadcast sales, whether radio, cable, or broadcast television, which is what I'm currently doing, selling advertising for 20-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate it. I'm not miserable. However, at the age of 57, I'm finding that I don't have the same passion that I had for it. And I have other things that I am good at, but I end up getting so scattered with all those different things, or I find a reason why, oh, no, I really can't do that, or technology bogs me down, or keeps me from moving forward in these other directions.
Oh, well, and welcome to the party. Being a human. You know what the problem is? It's fear and doubt hanging out on your shoulders.
Absolutely.
There's something telling you either that's risky. Why would you do that at 57? That's crazy for you to switch gears. What's wrong with you? Does that sound familiar?
It does.
What about this one? What about this one? I don't know. I don't know if you can do this, April. I don't know if you can do this. I don't think you've got what it takes. Okay.
But I also have the voice saying, I don't want to spend my next 10, 15, however many years I'm going to work doing the same thing when there are other things I can do.
All right, that's the one you need to listen to. You need to tell the other two to shut up. Okay?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Yeah, so here's the deal. Here's how we do that.
Okay.
Because I get those voices. Believe me, I get them. The reason I know about them and I tell other people about them is because they controlled me for about 3-4 years. Okay. And in the path to broadcasting, because I didn't have a broadcasting degree. Still don't. And was 33 trying to get into broadcasting. So I know what they sound like, and I know how powerful they are. So the way that you actually tell those two voices to shut up is by focusing on the truth. They're lying. You do have what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too late. and you're not going to be a miserable failure and become homeless and starve. Okay. So see, you're laughing because it sounds silly, but that's essentially what your fear is telling you and your doubt. So what we do is we focus on the truth, and the truth is you do have it. You do have what it takes, and you can come up with a plan, and you will get there if you execute on the plan. That's the truth. So that means it is possible at 57 to change gears. So what do we want to change gears to? I think we look at the top two ideas, and I bet you there's one idea that you've thought about more than any other. Which one is it?
Well, I have a blog that I've been working on, and I love, that's one thing I love doing is writing my blog. And I'm a yoga instructor, and I like doing yoga workshops. You really can't make it as a yoga instructor, but if you do workshops, you can. Okay. So that's one of my top things, is working on handstands, my blog, yoga.
Great.
My other is, I'm also really good at doing voiceovers for commercials and things.
Interesting.
I even went so far as to buy a piece of equipment that I would hook to my computer, and then it just kind of fell through the cracks. I started thinking, oh, I don't really have a soundproof room, blah, blah, blah.
Wait a second. April, are you not in TV and radio sales?
Yes.
Doesn't that mean that you have a key to the building?
Yes.
Doesn't that mean that there are times where nobody's using some type of editing room or editing bay or some type of voiceover studio?
That's true, yes.
And I wonder if you take your computer and your equipment in, you're not using the company, so there's nothing, you know, shady going on, and you go in there and you cut some spots and you actually get off of the seat and do something about it. Stand up and do it. Now, no more excuses. You can go in there and cut all kinds of spots in soundproof rooms because you have access to them. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, that's correct. And you're right. I would be taking my own equipment, so I wouldn't be using the station.
I know.
You're just brilliant, aren't you?
I know. Well, that's the sad thing is I'm actually the furthest thing from brilliant. What I just said isn't brilliant. What I said comes from a place of clarity because I don't have any excuses in my head. I'm just looking at the situation going, wait a second. You work at a broadcasting station. I think you have access to it. I mean, how difficult was that? So, number one, you need to do that. And then number two, you need to keep doing these yoga webinars or the online stuff. And you need to just keep doing it on the side until both the voiceover and the yoga stuff online get to a point where it takes care of you. So that might be 3 or 4 more years from now. But I think that might change your perspective on the day job, because the day job is allowing you to set yourself up for the next decade doing something that you're passionately crazy about. You know, you just love it. You're nuts about it. And, you know, again, I've told the story before. You can make it and do pretty well in voiceover work. Really well. Because, see, it's all digital now. You have a website. Right. You get connected with people that are in the voiceover space and learn a lot from them. They've got associations. I've got a good friend, Cam, who was my cameraman here at Ramsey Solutions. In my first gig here as host of the video channel, and Cam left us because he built his voiceover work on the side and got to the point where he could do it full time. So April, this is all right in front of you. You have got to stop making excuses. So we just went through the clear plan and the path. Now here's your kick in the pants. Stop thinking and start doing.
Yes.
All right. I believe in you. You got this. There's no question in my mind April's going to be successful at this. Isn't it funny when we just get feedback from somebody who is objective, how we see things differently, to the point where we laugh at ourselves? And that's what April's saying. Now, she doesn't really think I'm brilliant. She's laughing. She was being facetious to say, I had to call you, Ken, and for you to tell me that I had access to soundproof rooms at the radio station or the television station. No, she didn't. But you know what she did need? An objective person to listen to her situation, for her to voice her fear and doubt, for me, who's completely objective, to see right through it and go, huh, well, why can't you do this? Here's why I'm telling you this. April had the courage to say what she was afraid of. Well, I'm afraid it's not going to sound good with my computer and my microphone I bought off the internet. That's silly. But she doesn't see it as silly. It's concrete. It's what's kept her from moving forward on being a voiceover artist. That one teeny tiny hurdle. So not all of you are going to call into the show. I'd love for you to. You can call me every day. I can tell you that. From 12 to 2 Eastern, we're here. But if you don't call me, go talk to somebody who's completely objective, who will listen to you, but you got to have the courage to own your fear, to own your doubt. And breakthrough is just a conversation away. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. Helping you find your song so you can sing it loudly and proudly. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Amber's up next in Elizabeth, Colorado. Amber, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing today?
I am living the dream, Amber. What's up?
Well, I was just calling. I'm in a good job, but it's not something that I'm super passionate about. And I'm thinking about going back to school, and I'm just kind of feeling stuck because there's a lot of things I'm like, well, I could do this and I could do that, and I think I'd be happy doing this. But I'm feeling stuck. Not quite sure what step to take.
That's what we have to focus on first. The school thing may not even be necessary, and we'll get to that. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. So if we don't get to it, okay. What you need to ask yourself is college and a degree the only way or the best way to get where I want to go? If the answer is not yes to both of those, then don't do it. All right. Now let's focus on what you think you would love to do. Cause I think that's where you're really getting hung up, if I heard you correctly. So what do you know? What do you know? What comes to mind when I say, what is the dream? If I gave it to you tomorrow and you knew you couldn't fail, so nothing to be afraid of, no risk at all, guaranteed success. You just get to try it. You can drop it if you want. What would you do?
You know, I think I'd either like to be a vet or do something either like a physician's assistant or a doctor or even like a health coach.
Interesting. Now, do you see the theme there in all of those?
Medical and helping people.
There it is. So it's either medical for animals or medical for people, and it's medical. You love that idea, that notion of making an animal or a person better. You're driven by positive health results or solutions, correct?
Correct.
All right, so here's what's fun. You threw out vet, PA, doctor, or health coach. Those are four things. And by the way, I love this exercise. I love that you had the courage to just spit out four things. Okay. If I could give you any of those, successful career in any of those, but you only could choose one, which one would you choose? Fun game. We're not going to hold you to this, but I want you to just let your heart. I'm trying to shut your brain down. Guaranteed success in all four, but you only can choose one. Which one do you choose?
Vet.
Why?
I've always loved animals, and it's always something that's been in the back of my mind. I've always had animals. I love helping them.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, see, there's not a bunch of thinking there. We basically shut your brain off. Did you hear your brain trying to get back into the conversation at the end of your answer? You started off, I've always loved animals. Then I heard your brain start to engage, and it slowed your diction down, slowed your speech down. You started thinking, and what are you thinking about? Tell me what the limitations are. What are you scared of? What do you doubt when I ask you about being a vet? What comes in your mind? Because I heard it.
I think the thing of, can I actually get there? Yep. And can I afford school?
There we go. See, that's legit, by the way. Those are legit questions. But you know why you're stuck? Because you haven't gotten clear answers to both of those.
Gotcha.
Can I get there? That's more the professional path. And then, can I afford it? Do you have the answers? Clear answers?
you know, I think I can, because this is something that I want, and I'm driven.
Do you have the talent?
I know I can get there.
Do you have all the math and science aptitudes and things of that nature that you know what's going to take to kind of get that degree and get through that and shine and then do all the lab stuff and all that? I mean, do you have the talent in that area? Because I don't. I couldn't pass the first class to try to become a vet. Do you have it, yes or no? Come on now.
Yes, I have to work hard at it, but yes.
Okay. But let me ask you this. Does it matter if you're a B student or an A student as long as you learn it and you can take care of a doggy when the doggy swallows a sock?
No, it doesn't matter. As long as I can be there for my patients, that's what matters.
Right. By the way, the reason I come up with the dog swallowing a sock is because Meyer Riggins is a Labradoodle who has swallowed many socks in his day. Thankfully, we've not had to take him to the vet, but I digress. All right, so the next question is, can you afford it? If you are smart and you're disciplined and you save, you sacrifice, can you get through it financially? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, Amber, our work is done here. I want you to do one other thing. I want you to go talk to some successful vets and learn about the process. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where you can get clear so that you can get qualified, where we help you get connected so you can get started, so that you can get promoted and get that dream job and work like no one else by giving yourself away. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Andrew in Olathe, Kansas. Andrew, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I have a couple of overlapping questions.
Okay.
One, I'd like to find out how to get past the should-haves and supposed-tos and believe that I'm in the right spot for me. And then I work in college athletics, and I had been looking for some other things. But when we lost sports in March due to COVID, I found that I really missed the games.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had been telling some people close to me that missing of the games was what was telling me that I was in the right spot. And I kind of want to go to an objective person, as you said in the last segment, to really help make myself believe that.
Well, thanks for calling. I really appreciate the trust. I would tell you that I think your gut's absolutely right. When you miss the games and you miss the role, I'm assuming you're in coaching. Is it administrative in sports? Tell me what the actual role is.
I'm a content creator, so I write and do that sort of thing, put stuff on social media for all sorts of things. So when we lost sports, we were just about to get to the most exciting part of the winter season.
I get. So you're a sports journalist, essentially.
Essentially.
Yeah, an opinion. Yeah, sure. Okay, I got you. Yeah, I think the fact that you miss writing about those things is a really clear indicator that you should pay attention to. But let me address the first thing, because you brought it up first. I feel like we got to address that first, and then I'll go back to see if you have any other questions. You said, can I need some help addressing the should-haves? And essentially you're saying, can I need help dealing with regret?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you how you deal with the regret. You got to take regret and you got to go, regret is a focus issue. I'm focusing on all the things that I haven't done or the decisions that I made that I wish I would not have made. In other words, I'm focusing on the past. Now, are there repercussions to our actions or non-actions? Yes. But the reality is those are in the past, Andrew. And so I would not ever let your past define you. Let it refine you. So the only focus on the past is, what did I learn? And now how am I going to change, or what am I going to do differently as a result of what I've learned? That's not regret. That's refining. So don't regret. Refine yourself. And when you do that, then you can focus forward. But you're spending all your time focusing on what didn't happen or what shouldn't have happened instead of what you want to make happen. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
It's all focus. So what else can I help you with? Because you went into the, should I get back into writing about sports? And I think the answer is yes. You're just wanting confirmation. You know, if you can't keep from doing it, then that's a really good sign.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to when things get started back up.
Me too.
I live in a community that's thought of as pretty well-to-do, and I know a lot of people who have, you know, pretty successful jobs, and so it's really easy to feel, well, I should be making more money. I should have gone to law school. So it's hard to accept, you know, this is the salary that I make, and I really love my job.
Okay, hold. Yeah. That's what you got to focus on. You really love your job. You cannot get into this comparison game. It'll kill you. It's possible for you to be in your sweet spot. Love what you do and be blind to it because you're focusing on comparing yourself to others. I don't live in the neighborhood that I could have lived in. I don't drive as nice a car as I could have. I'm going to tell you something, that'll eat you alive. And by the way, all of us are susceptible to that, but that is bad news. You got to start focusing on, do I love the work? And if I love the work, then you know what? I'm going to live on the salary that I've got. Chris Hogan's Everyday Millionaire book was written on the back of the largest study of millionaires that's ever been done. And the third largest group of net worth millionaires in the United States, hear me, Andrew, are school teachers. You think school teachers, there's a guy raise his hand out there in the lobby. You think school teachers have to be careful about this comparison game?
Sure.
You bet. They're in the same boat you are. How about these school teachers teaching in really wealthy districts? And they're looking at all these parents driving up and seeing all these cars. They could very easily go, well, I could have done this, but I regret. Or they can focus on what they love about teaching, and then they can decide to change their lifestyle and still become net worth millionaires, which you can too.
Mm-hmm.
So, did we get you clear?
I appreciate that, Ken. Thank you.
My man. Listen, and by the way, as a guy who loves sports, I want guys like you writing about sports. I mean, it's the thing I'm looking for right now on social media, so I don't have to read any more doomsday crap.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So get back out there and tell sports stories, man, and lift people. Don't just report on stories. Tell stories of inspiration and overcoming the odds and make people's hearts and heads feel good again because we've all had enough of the Chicken Little. The sky is falling. Move us. Make us laugh. Make us cry. That's what sports do, and the words that describe sports do it just as well. Take great honor in what you do, my man, because you wield a pen, and with that pen, you have the opportunity to make people think differently and feel differently, don't you?
That's right.
So go do more of that, shall we? Go, Andrew, go. That's why I do what I do right there. Don't you dare fall into the comparison trap. Don't you dare. See, here's what you got to understand. I believe without a doubt that there is a force in this world that is trying to distract you from being you. And the way he does it is through many different tactics, but one is comparison. You know, I talk about fear, doubt, and pride. I think that they're enemies from the pit of hell. Yep, that's right. I really do. I believe that's where they come from. I also believe that comparison, which is a form of pride, see, that's where pride really gets ugly. Well, you know, this person over here, they've got a bigger house and they got a bigger car and they've got all these things and I could have done that and I'm over here. I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but how come I don't have all the nice things they have and I can't take the vacations they have and I don't have all the new stuff they have all the time. And we start focusing on all these things that we don't have. And see, that's where from the pit of hell, pride comes up and tries to distract us from being who we were created to be. And comparison does it quickly. So you take your eyes off of the work, your eyes off of the result of your work, that when you focus on the work and the result, your heart swells with meaning. But yet when we distract ourselves or allow ourselves to be distracted, we forget our duty to show up and be the greatest version of us that we can be, to contribute to others, to give ourselves away. So it's not about stuff. It's about significance. It's not about comparison. It's about contribution. And you know, I'm ranting on this for a little bit to close the show today, because I'm going to tell you something. I struggle with this every day. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to me. Let me tell you what it sounds like. Let me be really honest and transparent. I think I'm a better radio show host than that person. They're on more markets, more stations than I am. Feel like my show's better. Feel like my show's not politics. We're doing this. We're helping people. I could go down that road if I want to all day long and soak in that. And that's not going to help me or, quite frankly, you folks. Well, I think my book's better than this person's book. Could have sold more than this person's book. Hey, folks, I could fall into it, and I do if I'm not careful. I got to focus on my why. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter, and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is The Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruze Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruze wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to rachelcruze.com.